Thanks. Well, good morning. Wow. Definitely. It still seems kind of loud. Is that all right? Okay. Well, good morning, Zoom people, too. So announcements I'm probably going to need help with, but a couple of things. Pastor appreciation, we're going to actually celebrate the first weekend in November. Is that next weekend? I guess it is, yeah. First weekend in November. So bring whatever appreciation items you would like to bring, whether it's cards or bake some cookies or whatever you choose. That would be great. Harvest Fair is coming up. I see a hand, yes. Willie June is gluten-free. So if you're baking things, think about Willie June. And chocolate-free, too. She can't eat chocolate. But Jim can't. So you can go half and half there is fine. Probably appreciated. Harvest Fair is coming up on Halloween Day. Anybody know about Harvest Fair? What's going to happen here at church? Anybody have details about that you can share? No? Yes, Katie. I don't know if we have a microphone for you. Here, cool. You probably just bleed over on mine.
Okay, so the Harvest Fair is from 2 to 4, and it's open to the community, so come and bring the little kids, probably appealing to the young ones up through maybe 5th grade or so. So we'll have games. So they're actually going to park and get out of their cars, and one family at a time will go at each station. So we'll have 6 games and a photo. So we have a fun backdrop being painted for the kids. So it will be a really fun time, and Clay's going to bring 2 fun games. We're going to have pumpkin bowling and, I don't know, some other fun games. So it will be a fun time. And then at the end, the kids will get their little bag of candy with the fishing game. So they're not going to pick up candy at each place. They're just going to get it at the end. But we should be able to provide them with a nice time. And Willie June will be our greeter. So we'll be sharing some love.
Excellent. While you're here, do you want to mention youth group stuff?
Okay, so we have a sign-up sheet, and it'll be out in the front there. And if anybody in the Zoom land would like to sign up, just go ahead and let either myself or Patty, or even just call the office and let Sandy know, maybe. She can let me know with an email that you'd like to sign up to bring a dinner for youth group. I didn't mean to lead youth group or, you know, but you can come and, if you have an interest in helping with youth group, please let us know that too. But to bring a meal. And we're not picky. So, and we had a huge turnout last time, actually. We usually plan for 20. And how many do we have? 20?
We had 21 kids.
21 kids plus leaders.
That's great.
So normally we top out at 18 to 20, including leaders. But we had a great showing last time. So, yeah, please keep us in mind as we go along. Thank you.
Awesome. Other announcements? Yes, Roland. Here, do you want this mic that he's got? Is that easier?
Turn me on. Am I on? Thank you. All right. Okay, I'm looking at Zoom. November 14th, men's event extravaganza at our house. We're gonna murder a whole bunch of little clay pigeons. Knowing how it's happened in the past, there'll be quite a few that escape without injury. But we want to invite all the men to come. It'll start around 9 o'clock. We'll have lunch. And then we're working on getting someone from the sheriff's department to come and give us a little gun safety after lunch. And we'll have targets set up. So if you want to bring your pistols, please don't bring rifles, because my hillside can't handle 500-yard shot. But bring pistols. We'll have things set up to see how well you can shoot things. And we're going to have some skyrockets there. If you're a good shot, you'll be able to have a rocket. If you're not a good shot, you may just get a leak. Anyhow, so that is November 14th. We'll have a sign-up sheet next week, and it's so reasonably priced, it's amazing. It's been like $5 for lunch and $5 for shells, and we'll have all that information for you next week. And one other thing, that since this is not pastor appreciation yet, mm-hmm. How many of you have your cell phone with you today? Okay. I just want to do something fun. If you have Pastor Jim's cell phone number on your phone, well, I can give it to you if you don't have it. You want to? Anyhow, I thought it would be fun if numerous people in Zoom land and in the church were to send him a text. Not a long, extensive one that's going to detract from Jay's time sharing the word with us, but I think it would be fun. Just send him a short text. Hope he's enjoying the sandy beaches and the sunshine, and it's not 38 degrees where he is. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you much. Okay, so extravaganza, bring your own ammo. And if you're shooting, if you're getting shotgun shells, please don't bring anything smaller than a 7, smaller number than 7. My brother-in-law lives at Cooner Yards away, and somebody shot some number 6 a couple years ago and peppered his house. So number 7, 7.5, or 8. All right, thank you.
So, Jim, if you get a flood of texts, that was Roland, not me, okay? The one other thing I'd say by way of announcement is we do have an election coming up very soon, and we need God's people to go out and vote. So if you haven't already voted in this disjointed voting thing that we have set up this year, do that. It would be a good thing. Yes? Perfect. Okay. Well, like Roland said, Jim and Willie June are in Hawaii visiting Josh and Chelsea and Charlie and June, their grandkids. Charlie and June, yes, two granddaughters. It's probably not 37 degrees this morning in Hawaii, which sounds pretty nice to me. So that's why you're stuck with me today. Yes. They're going back to Pioneer Park, right?
What, 31st to the 4th, or 3rd, and then 12th?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All kinds of opportunities to vote this year. So that's a good thing. All right. We're not going to make political statements this morning. All right. Okay. There you go. Words from somebody that knows. Yes, ma'am.
I do that every year anyways, but right behind it was by the library. And you went down the hill and you would drive through and just pop it right in the
right. And there are a number of places you can do that this year. It's listed out in the ballot thing.
Yeah, you can drop it off at the park.
Even now? Okay. There you go. No excuses. We're all going to vote. All right. Well, a couple weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I don't know, I was talking to Dan, and somehow we got on the subject of firewood, probably mostly my unpreparedness in that regard. I'm like Jack Frame. He said to me the other day, it's just about cold enough to get motivated to cut firewood. So this morning was motivating. But anyway, I made the comment that I need to get busy because I just have this sense it's going to be a long, cold winter, you know? And I've got no reason to think that other than it feels that way. And Dan says to me, of course it is. It's 2020. And hasn't that kind of been this year, you know? It's been a hindsight. There you go. Yeah. You know, we've had the COVID-19 virus and all the health things that came with that and people that have been sick and people that have died. And then we've had the fear of the COVID-19 virus and all the things that have come with that that have been huge and impactful in everybody's lives. Unprecedented wildland fire season, right? Hundreds of thousands of acres burned, thousands of homes, people have died. I mean, just crazy, more than we would ever expect. We've seen these peaceful protests turn into horrific riots and murderous riots and cities being burned and just the ugliest side of humanity, you know? I couldn't hear you. Torn down beautiful statues. We've all seen all that stuff on the news, and now we're looking at this presidential election, which is about as divisive as anyone I remember, you know? I wonder why they even have the debates, because who doesn't know who they're voting for by this point? They're so different, right? And I think a lot of us are wondering, are we going to have a peaceful transition of power, or are we going to have court battles and everything else when the votes are all cast? I mean, I sure hope we have a peaceful transition. That's what America does, but I don't know. Who would have thought a year ago that we'd be social distancing at church and that we'd feel uncomfortable hugging each other, right? That we'd have to wear masks from the front door to our seats you know, who would have thought that you need to put on a mask to go get a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread? I mean, crazy. I didn't see that coming. Nobody did. What I hear a lot, though, people saying is everything has changed. You know, nothing's the same. Kids can't go to school the same ways. Everything has changed. What I want to talk about this morning is there are some things that haven't changed and that are never going to change, that we need to remember and be aware of. So that's kind of where we're headed this morning. Why don't we take a minute and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for those that are brave to come out on a chilly morning. Thank you for the folks that are watching on Zoom. Lord, we pray for people all over this world that are coming together this morning, or maybe have already come together or about to worship you. Lord, would you be in our hearts and our minds. Would you open our hearts to hear from you? And Father, as we talk this morning, may you be our teacher, and may we learn to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're going to turn to Psalm 102. If you guys want to flip there, we're going to Psalm 102, verses 25 through 28. So do you suppose God was caught off guard by COVID-19? No? He didn't say, man, I never saw that coming. I mean, that's what I said, right? Do you suppose he's in heaven wringing his hands thinking, how am I going to handle my world in a post-COVID-19 era? Probably not. Probably not. We wring our hands, but he doesn't. So Psalm 102, verses 25 through 28, speaking here about the unchangeableness of God. It says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. Does that sound like a God that's caught by surprise about things? It doesn't really, does it? from the foundation of the earth. Flip back a couple pages to Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Isn't that a good thing? That God is our dwelling place. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You know, if you do a search in your Bible concordance program on your phone for everlasting, it's amazing how many verses, everlasting to everlasting, come up throughout the Bible. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Again, not caught off guard, not unaware. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's go all the way to the other end of the Bible. We'll go to Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to go to verse 12 and 13. And so this is Jesus speaking. It's in red letters in your Bible. He says, Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. And then here's what I want us to focus on. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus from the very beginning of creation, Jesus to the very end of Revelation, and everywhere in between. Our God does not change. Our God does not get caught off guard. Our God does not wring his hands and wonder what happens next. We can be secure in that, right? All right. I'm making you flip to a lot of scripture this morning. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. I'll give you a second to get there, chapter 2. And we're going to be in verse 19. But this section here, well, the Iwana verse is found here in verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Right? All you Iwana leaders have memorized that. But then Paul goes on to talk about some troubles in the church. He talks about avoiding irreverent babble. Useless talk, I guess we'd say. For it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Isn't that an ugly picture? Gangrene. Among them are these two false teachers, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened, and they are upsetting the faith of some. So you've got these troubles in the church, right? You've got false teachers that are trying to teach people things that aren't true, and it's disrupting. It's causing people to falter in their faith. But then verse 19 says, But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. God's firm foundation stands. You know, when you look at that, verse 19, he says, but God's firm foundation stands. That's almost like, despite all these things, God's firm foundation stands. Despite COVID-19, despite, you know, government officials that maybe we're happy with or not happy with, despite elections that are challenging, despite wearing masks and riots and everything else, despite all those things, God's firm foundation stands. Unchangeable God that we can count on. Sometimes I think the news wants to do more to spread fear than to spread truth. Despite all of that, God's firm foundation is still standing. So if God hasn't changed, if God is unchanging, how about what he wants from us? How about what he looks to and values in his children? Does that change? Are our responsibilities situational? They really aren't, are they? We're called to be forgiving, period. We're called to follow him, period. It's not a changeable, situational thing. We're going to look about at some things that God values, some attitudes that he wants to see in us, and hopefully be able to take that to heart. We could go many, many, many places in Scripture to do this. We're going to go to just a couple this morning. So let's turn to Matthew 22. We're going to be at verse 34. 34 through 40. It's a very familiar verse. Probably maybe titled in your Bible, The Great Commandment or something like that. And Jesus has been talking with the Sadducees, and it says in 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, sorry lawyers, just go figure, right? And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So Jesus sums it up, right? Love God, love your neighbors. That sums everything up. Piece of cake, right? Roland, is it easy to do that all the time? Sorry. I said, Roland, is it easy to do that all the time? Yeah. Love God and love our neighbors as ourselves? It's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge for me. It's pretty easy to realize that most of the Bible is written to teach us how to do those things. Think about all of Paul's epistles, how to forgive each other, how to live together without quarreling, how to be compassionate, how to love God and serve God, have a clean conscience. It all relates back to here. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbors as yourselves. You and I will spend, or hopefully will spend, the rest of our lives learning to do this. Right? All right. The other place I want to take us to look at some attitudes that God values is Matthew chapter 5, this beginning of this Sermon on the Mount. If you haven't read 5 and 6 for Matthew for a while, tremendous passages of Scripture. This long sermon that Jesus gives, and even into 7. But we're going to look at just starting at verse 2, these Beatitudes, or what I call the Blessed Ours, because that's what we say here. So these are familiar passages probably for lots of us. Some of you may have even memorized a lot of them. The problem with really familiar passages is sometimes we just read right through them, right? It's easy just to blaze through. I've got that. I know what that is. Let's try and take time to think about these as we read today. Try and think about, how do I fit into this? Am I poor in spirit, meek, merciful? And what do I need to do to change in me to have that kind of attitude? Because clearly these are things that Jesus said were valuable, right? We're blessed if we have this kind of attitude in our lives. So it says that he opened his mouth, he being Jesus, and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. Think about the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, like we just read about in one of those Psalms. Those that hurt. It says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The commentary I read said that mourners were the ones that weep over the pains of life, the compassionate ones, the ones that have empathy, you know. So many of us, we can see these ugly things on the news, and it's like, oh, that's awful. But do we really have that compassion in our hearts? That's what mourning is. That's what God's looking for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Do you desire righteousness? Do you desire what God would say? Do you desire that our world would follow him and follow his statutes? Is that important to you? That's that hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The merciful, the helpers. You know, do you look on somebody that's having a rough time and do you think, I wonder what they did to get themselves in that situation? Or do you look on them and say, you know, they're hurting. How can I help? What can I do? I don't care how you got there, but what can I do to help you back out again? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you have pure motives, holy motives? That's a challenge, man. I wanted to just skip that one because I don't like reading that one because that's really hard. But you can't do that, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The commentary I read in this one says that peacemaker, the verb that's translated peacemaker, means join together, the idea of bringing people back together. Are you one that tries to unify people? Or are you a divisive type person some of the time? By the way, I'm not being accusatory with any of these things. I mean, hopefully these all hit you as they hit me and are all things that I need to work on. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you ever get beaten up for doing the right thing? Or do you ever avoid doing the right thing because you don't want to get beaten up? I can be guilty of that for sure. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Roland talked about, is there enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian and send us to jail, right? Are we experiencing any of this persecution, or are we so quiet and meek about our faith that we don't? It's a challenge. Did I skip blessed are the meek? I think I did. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Is meekness weakness? No, it's not, is it? Rob used to talk about a draft horse being meek. I have a more personal story. Some of you that have been around a long time might remember the McWilliams family, Mike and Denise McWilliams. They lived up Sanders Road, and they had a whole bunch of kids, six, I think, something like that. And they also raised Mastiff dogs, you know, Mastiff dogs about this tall. So my daughter Grace was at their house one day hanging out, and I went down to get her in my little Nissan station wagon, and I pulled into the driveway, and this Mastiff walks over, and he looks down at me because I'm sitting down low in my wagon, and he goes, woof. And I thought, I'm not getting out of this car, you know. I mean, I'd have to crawl up to be able to look him in the eye. And so I sat there for a second, and of course, walking out of the house comes their little daughter who's about 5 years old, if that, walks over, puts one finger in his collar, and says, come on, Barney, or whatever his name was, and he won't hurt you, and walks him into the house. And I sheepishly crawled out of my car, feeling pretty stupid. But was that dog capable of hurting me? Absolutely. Was he capable of hurting that little girl? He had power, but he had submitted to that little girl. He had submitted to his master that taught him not to eat people that came in the driveway, right? It's power under control. It's power under control. And that's the idea of meekness, when we choose to submit. You know, it says that, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. All right. So we could look at, like I said, lots of passages. We could look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and things that other people could name off better than I could if I don't look it up. As qualities that God desires in us, you know? And so why is that important? Why do we care that we have got qualities that God desires in us? Well, I hope it's because we love him. You know, Jim's been talking a lot about the verse to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is our acceptable service of worship. You know, trying to live these ways is our acceptable service of worship, right? Having our minds renewed and transformed. The other aspect to that is our world's not getting any better, is it? No. And do we know pretty clearly from Scripture that it's not going to get better before the end? We're not looking at rosy times. We may more and more be facing the court to see whether we really are Christians and can be convicted or not. Whether we see that in our lifetime or not, I don't know. But with all the things that are going on lately, you know, I think a lot of us wonder that. You know, how bad are things going to get? It is important to be living God's way in those kinds of times. You know, Pastor Rob used to say, in the good times of life, put money in your spiritual bank account by spending time with the Lord and reading. And then when you are in trouble, you've got something to draw on, right? I think that's why we need to think about these things that God values. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. So this is the passage that leads into the whole armor of God, and we're not going to go through the whole armor of God. But I think the starting at verse 10 here is very important. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, because that's what you wrestle against, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand firm. You know, we get very concerned, and we should, about things that are going on in the world. You know, it's good to be politically active. We need Christian people to vote, okay? We need to elect godly people if we possibly can. You know, and we all have opinions about whether our governor's doing a good job or not, or whether our president's doing a good job or not, or our Congress or anything else. But, you know, things like that, as important as they are, you know, things like whether we should be required to wear masks when we go places, whether we should be subject to only having so many people together at a time, all of that stuff, those are symptoms of the problem. Those are fringe things. Our struggle is against Satan, these powers of darkness that they're talking about. And we got to keep that in perspective, you know. I'm not saying don't be concerned about the other things. You should be. But as Christian people, our struggle is a spiritual battle, okay? And those other things stem out of that. Does that make sense? Not sure if I said that sensibly or not. The only way we prevail in a spiritual battle is with God. I'm turning to James. I didn't have a little sticky note for James. And we're going to verse 4. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 7. This is my new Bible, and all the pages are sticking together. There we go. So we're in a spiritual battle. How do we prevail? Verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That takes time, and that takes effort, and that takes purposeful thinking, right? We have to choose to submit ourselves, just like we have to choose to be meek. You know, sometimes it's easier to be angry than submissive. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a good promise. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Then it goes on to say, cleanse your heart, your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This idea of if we're in touch with God and we're in this spiritual battle, that's where we need to be, because that's the only way Satan's going to flee from us, right? The only way. All right. So, I want to read a passage here. Where did I put my book? Another real aspect of this, I think, is of attitudes that God wants to see in his children. Well, I think it's just illustrated well with this story. This comes out of The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and he's telling a story about his dad. He says, my father was a minister for over 40 years, serving mostly in small rural churches. He was a simple preacher, but he was a man with a mission. His favorite activity was taking teams of volunteers overseas to build church buildings for small congregations. In his lifetime, Dad built over 150 churches around the world. That's pretty cool. In 1999, my father died of cancer. In the final week of his life, the disease kept him awake in a semi-conscious state nearly 24 hours a day. As he dreamed, he'd talk aloud about what he was dreaming. Sitting by his bedside, I learned a lot about my dad by just listening to his dreams. He relived one church building project after another. One night near the end, while my wife, my niece, and I were by his side, Dad suddenly became very active and tried to get out of bed. Of course, he was too weak, and my wife insisted he lay back down. But he persisted in trying to get out of bed. So my wife finally asked him, Jimmy, what are you trying to do? He replied, got to save one more for Jesus. Got to save one more for Jesus. Got to save one more for Jesus. He began to repeat that phrase over and over. During the next hour, he said that phrase probably 100 times. Got to save one more for Jesus. As I sat by his bed with tears flowing down my cheeks, I bowed my head to thank God for my dad's faith. At that moment, Dad reached out and placed his frail hand on my head and said, as if commissioning me, save one more for Jesus. Save one more for Jesus. I intend for that to be the theme of the rest of my life. I invite you to consider it as a focus for your life too, because nothing will make a greater difference for eternity. If you want to be used by God, you must care about what God cares about. What he cares about most is the redemption of the people he made. He wants his lost children found. Nothing matters more to God. The cross proves that. I pray that you will always be on the lookout to reach one more for Jesus, so that when you stand before God one day, you can say, mission accomplished. Isn't that something? God desires us to be telling others about Jesus. Now, we're not all Rick Warren or Rick Warren's dad, that's for sure. But we need to be sharing our faith. We need to have boldness. And that's a challenge for me. I'm not a bold person, you know. It's easy to talk to you guys because we all agree with each other for the most part. But we need to be sharing our faith. So we've talked today about an unchanging God, right? He has a plan not only for his world, but for us as individuals, right? It says that all of our days were numbered before there was yet one of them. That's comforting. We also discussed that the things that he values in his children don't change either. We are still to have the characteristics that he wants us to have, no matter what's going on around us and no matter how difficult life gets. So if you're here today and you've trusted Jesus, hopefully these are comforting things, right? To know that God is unchanging. If you're listening or you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus and you're kind of realizing that there is a God that was the same and when he created the earth and is going to be the same when Jesus returns and he sets up the new heavens and earth, and you don't know him, or maybe you've been antagonistic to him, that's got to be a troubling place to be. If that's your situation today, it's a very good day to meet Jesus. There are lots of people here that would love to talk to you about that. If you're at home and you pray on your own to accept him as Savior, that's a great thing. Tell somebody that you did that so we can help you. All right. Mike, do you guys have one more song? Let's have the worship team come on up. I'm going to pray for us while they do that, and then we're going to be dismissed. And I got done within my time frame. No applause for that. Gee whiz. Deanna. I tell you. I know. I raised them. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are unchanging. Lord, we need your steady hand in unsteady times. Father, we need you very much, and we thank you that you are available to us, Lord. You tell us that we can turn to you, that we can ask you to be our Lord and Savior, and that you will come to us, and that you will live in us, and that you will save us for all eternity. What a wonderful thing that is. Father, help us to be people that live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. Help us to develop these characteristics and these attributes, Lord, that you value. Help us to value the things that you value, I guess, Lord, would be the way to put it. Help those things to be most important to us. Lord, I have a long ways to go. I confess that. And it's going to be a lifelong thing. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Pray that you give us boldness to tell others about you. Pray that you give us childlike faith to come to you. I pray that through difficult times in life that your word would go out. You have always done great things through suffering, through difficult times. James says to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, Lord. You use trials to spread your word in the early church. Father, I pray that you would help us and help your church to grow in these times. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll sing a last song and then we're dismissed.
Well, doesn't look like I have a PowerPoint person back there, but you guys know the song, so it's pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
Lord, we do love you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to serve you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, Lord, with all our strength. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we go forth from here today. And as we go through this week, I pray your blessings. Lord, just guide us as we strive to serve you and as we strive to know you more and more. We love you and we praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. You're all dismissed.